the students that we dealt with, I feel it's also what we've been through. What we noticed running the platform is we've interacted with so many students, and it made us look back and realize that at one point in university, if we had the information that we had now, we'll be much further and we'll be able to make wiser decisions. So that's why we created the whole concept of I Wish I Knew. We're going to give students the information that they need to have right now, so that we'll be able to help them to position themselves better looking forward into their career path.
And the best people to kind of get that knowledge from is those who are already in the industry, who are experts in their field and can just lend a hand for what is it that they wish they knew before they started their career, so that those students who are now beginning their career don't fall into some mistakes, don't fall into those same trials and tribulations, and they can succeed better than they ever did. So that's the main reason why we started I Wish I Knew. And our very first episode is actually going to be based on me and Michael and our experiences of stuff we wish we knew before we started our careers, all the way back when from first year university and up until where we are right now. So hey guys, this is Afonso Amoruba speaking. I'm co-founder of Tito.
Hi guys, it's Michael speaking. I'm co-founder of Tito.
And yeah, Tito is a student freelancer platform where we help students who are currently studying at university get experience, the necessary experience they need before they graduate. And we've been doing this for a good 3 years now.
Yeah, 2015, so yeah. So the aim of the platform is we prioritize the fact that, you know, students are coming out of university or studying at university and they don't have the necessary experience that they need to get into the career fields that they desire. So that's one thing that we wanted to tackle with Tito. I think the real reason why we created that was because working with the students that we work with, we've got up to 100 students from various unis, I think up to 15 unis, and we realized that a lot of students could do with the valuable insight that we have. You know, if I was in your position listening to this right now as a student, there's information that you're going to hear in this podcast and it's going to be so valuable to you because it's going to allow you to position yourself better than anyone else, you know, that you're studying with, your peers that hasn't heard this. So,
and even with the students we've worked with, like time and time again, I'm realizing how there's this information and knowledge that we have access to that we're now giving to them. I'm just realizing how like a light bulb moment or there's like, oh, there's this vast resources that because of our experience of doing this for so long that we can now shed on, and that excites me so much to be able to just pass that knowledge on. It's like you're passing the baton.
That's very true. But I think even on a deeper level, we've managed to build such a large and strong database of, you know, top people in different, you know, career fields and industries that have a vast amount of not only experience but achievements under their belt. They've done stuff and they've taken certain decisions that in this podcast you're going to realize how important it is to have, you know, key insight and knowledge. And we're going to share that network with you so you have direct access to the valuable steps that allow them to conquer their industries. To start off, guys, one of the major things I wish I knew before starting uni was the power of networking. For me, my personal journey since graduating from uni in 2014, networking has been very, very essential. It's not only landed me job positions through friends, but it's also enabled the growth of Tito. So the platform that you're able to use today wouldn't be possible. You know, one of our first funding that we received was through a friend. So if I didn't have that relationship there, and if we put it in the context of being at university, you need to make sure that, but when they have any sort of fairs that you can socialize with different societies or you can network with different people outside of the your field of your degree field, I think it's very important for you to partake in that. And the reason why is you're going to meet people that kind of, they expose you to different ways of thinking, different cultures, different ambitions, different mindsets, and you're never really going to get that if you stay, you know, confined within your degree peers. Like, I'm not saying that you shouldn't you know, spend time with people in your degree field, but you need to broaden that network, you know. And another important thing is networking even with the lecturers. The lecturers are not only there to help you, but they're also there as like your mentors in some regard. Like, build that personal relationship. I remember when I graduated from uni and one of my exam results wasn't really the best, so I had to go to one of my lecturers and just, you know, quiz him and ask him, okay, why did I get these scores and marks? And eventually I realized why, but through that whole, you know, sit down I had with him, I realized that I wish I had a better relationship with him, because I got to know he was a very, you know, cool person, and he now would see me as a student that if he had any opportunities, the first person he's going to think of is Michael McKinday, because I've built that rapport with him. And in the working world, you need to prepare yourself from early on to understand that it's essential that for you to network. Your network is your net worth, and it's not just, you know, a gimmicky saying, it's really true. The people you know will enable you to have future opportunities.
Now, even just dovetailing off of that, we started a series called Love Yours, and we did it for we started in 2016, and we ended the campaign around 2017. And what I realized through that campaign is that we connect with so many different creatives, so many different amazing people who just give you a brief understanding of the campaign. It was just interviewing people on who had achieved their passion and what was the hardest thing for them on that road to achieving their passion, so it can help others achieve their passion as well. And I look back at that campaign, I realize a lot of our connections that we have today and the stuff that we can do or have exposure to now was because we connected and networked with so many different creatives in the industry, and it gave us so many even more opportunities to this day that we can just tap into for whenever we need something. And a viewpoint that I kind of have for even networking, how powerful it is that you have to see every stranger as the opportunity to make a friend, because they will always open doors for you whenever, if you know someone who's, say for example, you're trying to get into videography, and you know someone who's, you connect with someone who's been in videography for quite a long time, they'll have exposure to a network that you don't have exposure to, that they can then guide you to connect with this person, or there's a gig that's happened over here, or let me send this person that I know who's trying to get into it to go and be part of that gig. Just that's one thing I can say is very, very important about networking, just that it exposes you to more opportunities. It's kind of like a trickle-down effect of the more people you know, the more chances that you can get, and just being in their faces as well. So it's very, very important to just network.
Yeah, and I think to go off of what Foster just said is networking is also essential because it touches a deeper element. It gives you that factor of I'm not alone. When you have a wider network, you always have access to different individuals that have, you know, like-minded attributes or ambitions to the ones that you have. So for instance, one of the things that has helped us on our journey creating Tito is the fact that we knew a lot of people in different sectors and different industries, and even in regards to when we were at university, we have connections that we can still, you know, tap into today. And it's essential because you will never know what the people that you're studying with today will be in a couple years' time. You will never know that, okay, I have an idea, for instance, to create a clothing line. You need a fashion designer, or you need an illustrator to do the rough draft. You know, if you've networked with them people from early on, imagine that person ends up, you know, being one of the, you know, designers at for instance, Louis Vuitton or Gucci or something like that. You've built that network early on, so now you have access to all of that, you know, you have access to all of the qualities that come with that, and you can now use that to, you know, push yourself.
And to bring it even to a student's perspective, I remember even like being a student, there were certain things that I didn't know were possible in my field, because I went to University of Essex Culture Institute to study graphic design. I didn't understand that you didn't need certain things. I thought being a graphic designer meant that you need to know every software and you need to know how to use every tool. And it was only when I got into the industry and started connecting with different people that I started to understand the graphic design world a bit more, and I kind of wish that when I was at university, if that had the exposure to that work, so they can help me, just give me peace of mind of what would actually be to be a graphic designer. And that's what help expand your network and just connecting with different people will do for you. It just expands your, it gives you, it expands your ability to have a wider range of understanding. So if your understanding is, for example, a 10% range, and you connect with, and you have 1,000 people in your network, that then gets amplified to an infinite scale now, because those 1,000 people have a different understanding of how your graphic design world might be, and can expose you to things that can just push you further in your career.
Yeah, so I would say the key message with this first point is, I wish I knew when I was at university that networking would be so essential, like really, really important.
The next thing I kind of wish I knew when I was at university was how to manage my money. Like, I think everyone being a student, like when you first get that influx of student loans and maintenance grants, if you you're lucky enough to get that, you get very, very hyped or excited at the fact that, oh, I've got money now, I can do this and do X and do Y, and nobody's really giving you those tools or those understandings of how to manage your money. Because if you give someone who's never had £1,000, they're going to use it in a way that's not going to help them sustain that amount of money. And it put me in a very tough position at uni, because I'll be spending recklessly at times. It'd be months or weeks when I wouldn't have £5 to my name, and I would just be like, oh, I'm waiting for that student loan to come in Christmas time or the next semester break. And just, it's just something that you don't even get taught while at uni. There's no really course, no really after school class that you could really take to say, okay, this is how you being a student can manage your money. Because student loans, the interest start the minute you receive the loan. So the very first day that you start university, that's when the interest start adding up. And when I'm looking back at my student loans, and I'm like, wow, they've been charging me since my first year of university, my very first day of university. I'm like, I didn't have that understanding, and that would have made me plan my money in a different way to be able to be in a better financial situation. Mm. Not that I'd be able to pay it off, but to say, okay, I can comfortably set a plan of how to now manage the interest that I would have to be paying on this.
And I agree with you on that one. I definitely think it's essential, because when you start university, you're ingrained to a habit of not knowing how to manage your money. Because when I think of my own specific situation, I definitely do wish I knew how to manage money better and understood that it was valuable to know how to manage my money. And if we're talking about practicality and how can we apply, you know, these sorts of nuances, I would say stuff like breaking down your budget, just looking at the essential things that, you know, you're going to buy or the things that you have to pay for, and just looking out, you know, your outgoing activities, you know, and how much you're spending there. Just being able to, you know, kind of take that in and understand that, oh, I spend this much this month, and, you know, maybe I don't have to be spending that much. Maybe I could save a little bit, and that money could be used and invested into something else. I could set up a savings account, or even whilst I'm working, because what happens is some people have to pick up jobs just because their money management is so poor, and they're picking up jobs that they don't even enjoy, you know. I managed to run away from that somehow, but I know there's a lot of students that are listening to this right now, and they're like, oh, I wish I could leave my job. You probably could leave your job, but it's because you haven't educated yourself in the right way.
Being educated.
Or even used the tools. So money management is essential, because even as I'm speaking to you today, I understand that I've picked up bad habits that have continued since university, and it's stuff that needs to stop. So I feel it is very key to tap into the resources you have in regards to, there's a finance department, there's a student union. Go to the student union and ask them, do you have any resources or tools that could help me manage my money better? Because I'm noticing that I've picked up bad habits, or I haven't been, you know, taught how to manage my money. They'll gladly help you with this sort of stuff. I wish I asked these sorts of questions whilst I was in uni. You have a whole student body for a reason. Money management is essential. I think that's one of the most valuable questions you can present to your student union. They'll be glad to hear that from you.
And even just to add to that as well, is like everybody's gonna want to go out and get wasted. I mean, that's the student lifestyle. You're meant to like live up and really enjoy it. And also, let's not forget, do good in your studies. And we're not saying that you should stop that, but I wish that if I had had an understanding of the fact that, okay, this weekend when I'm going out, I can spend this amount and I can be fine in the next coming weeks because I have a budget. Like, that would make me live my life so much more freer and with less stress and not having to say, okay, I have to go get a job that I don't really want to do to go and get money to pay these bills. Is this being able to manage your finances allows you to plan ahead and also be more risk averse. And what I mean by risk averse is that you're not so cautious to take a risk or to live your life a certain way that will make you enjoy it the most. So yeah, money management was really, really something I wish I knew. And even now, I've actually been training myself to get into those habits of being able to manage my money better. And I'm just thinking, if I'd done this a whole lot sooner, I'd be so much more ahead in terms of where my finances are right now. So yeah.
And just to press you on that point, you know, when you spoke about right now, you're, you know, I guess adopting the right sort of, I guess, principles to manage your money better. Just to give them like a little bit of a snippet, can you name two or three things that you're doing right now that is helping you?
So one thing that I do is that I break down my costs, and that what that does allows me to understand how much it is that I have to make sure I have left in the bank on a monthly basis. And once I know that, I then understand, okay, how much can I actually spend this month to make sure that I will have enough to save. So just tools of knowing, like once you figure out how much you cost as an individual, then you're basically fine. Because you know, okay, I need to make sure I can earn X amount. If you figure out that you spend £300 a month on food, water, traveling, all those other stuff, and then it's a case of and then you also spend, for example, £400 on the stuff that are fixed. For example, like your rent, your phone contract, and your water bills. Those stuff don't really change month to month, and that's around £750 a month. So you know that you have to make sure you get £750 a month to make sure that you can survive. But even so, that's one thing that we're doing for TO is providing those tools to allow students to have easy access to doing stuff like that. So if they want to know how to figure out their costs, they can do that with the tools that we provide them. Another thing that I wish I knew, I think this might be more tailored towards freelancers, is I wish I knew about other sources of revenue that weren't your traditional routes. Like I've been a freelancer for the past 10 years, I'd say since I was 16, I'm 26 now, and I've just been charging people what I thought would be enough for me to earn. And those would be like, say for example, start at £50, and now because I'm much more experienced, they'll range like 500 to thousands of pounds. And then early last year that I got exposed to the option of tendering contracts. And what tendering contracts basically means is that the same stuff that I'm charging my friends for like £50 to £100 to thousands of pounds, you now get to charge companies, and they'll pay you what's, for example, £20,000 to design a website. They pay you £50,000 to make a database and all these different types of fees. And that blew my mind because I didn't understand for the past 10 years I could have been tendering contracts. That's what they call it, is that you tender a contract. And it's basically government agencies who want people to do stuff for them. And they have loads and loads of money because they have to get rid of that money, else they'll get taxed on it at the end of the year. And if you don't get rid of it, then that's increasing their tax. So they have to find people to do things for them. And if I had been exposed to that while I was at university, like my whole situation right now, not that it's not a good situation, but I would have been so much more in the profit for my freelance business. So yeah, like tendering contracts and just having that exposure to what are the different types of revenues that I can earn as a freelancer when I was a student. And not just your traditional, okay, go to like a freelancer.com, go to a through just networking through your friends. What are the actual things that's going to make it turn to a sustainable business?
For me, it's a little bit different because obviously we specialize in two different fields. But just the point you made about being aware of the multiple avenues of revenue stream that you have is, the point that I'll talk about specifically is just being aware of the skill sets that you really have. Because often when you're doing a degree, you look at the degree and the job that you can get from the degree as the bigger picture. You often forget the skills that you have and the essential skills that are going to get you the job or get you the work that you need. So what I would say is, as you're listening to this, start thinking about what skills do I really have, you know. What do I really enjoy out of them skills? You may have multiple skills. You may be a programmer. You may be a photographer. You may be
a writer.
A writer. There's so many, you know, different skill sets that you could have, but you need to start thinking about, okay, which ones do I enjoy? Which ones do I specialize in that I can strengthen to the point where I can do it for other people? That's going to bring me in that revenue that I need, because that's something that definitely, you know, can be advantageous to you whilst you're at uni. Because I wish I knew that it's bigger than just getting that job after university. The skills that you have now, you need to start nurturing them. So I think one of the points that Fossum mentioned about tendering contracts is important, because he realized now that he has access to that sort of, you know, revenue stream. And what we're trying to do with this part is make sure you also know that the skills you have now are valuable enough for you to be able to earn the income
that you wish to earn.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, and this even brings us to another question, which I guess is a very popular one that I definitely had when I was doing some, how do I charge for my skills? I remember being in class, sat down with a bunch of my classmates, and we got presented that question, and the tutor didn't really know how to answer it for us. It's like he started saying that you just got to charge what you think you're worth and make sure you can pay your bills. And that wasn't enough for me or for us at the time to understand, okay, how is it that you actually charge for your skills. And I think that was something I didn't really learn until 2015. I worked for a media production, actually I worked for Ogilvy and Mavor, the biggest advertising agency in UK, and I was sat down with one of the project managers, and he asked us, because it was me and a couple of friends who were running the media production agency at that time, and he asked us, what's you guys' rate? And then we all looked at each other and was like, yeah, this is how much you charge, but it's like, how do you know that covers what you guys cost? So, and then from that point on, he just sat us down to understand, okay, this is how you break down your rate, and this is how you make sure that you can always make a profit on whatever job you're doing. And that goes back into our previous point of, you said, knowing how money, managing your money is essential, because it ties down to how do you charge for your skills. So if you know exactly what your costs are and you know how much it costs you to work for an hour, then you know, okay, you need to know, make sure you can charge at least this minimum amount to work for an hour to make sure that you can make a profit and cover your bills. So yeah, that's one thing I wish I knew when I was at university, is how to charge for my skills.
I wish I knew how important, you know, it was to have like a clear idea of what I wanted to do after uni, because I could definitely say I was one of the people that ended up just feeling lost after university. I went to Loughborough University, studied computer science, and I just came out just feeling very lost. And that was partly to do with the fact that I struggled to get a job after uni in the computer science field. So what I realized now is, if whilst I was at uni, I went to go and speak to people, I got a clear understanding of the type of roles that were out there, I probably even forced myself to get that experience, I would have been in a better position, you know, coming out of uni, because I would have known specifically, okay, I have these skills, or, you know, these are the skills that I need to acquire. When you don't have a clear idea, what you're doing is you're going to finish university and you're going to try and go for a role, and, you know, some of you may be lucky to get that position, but not everyone's going to fall in that, you know, in that category. Some of you are not going to be lucky, and it would be very advantageous to you whilst you're at uni to be doing the research, to be trying to make sure you're getting the valuable experience, and to be brainstorming, you know, what do you actually enjoy doing? What are you passionate about? If you want to get into this specific career field, what do you want to specialize in within that career field? You know, in regards to practical steps that you could use to get that sort of experience, speak to people, you know, speak to your lecturers. Like I said previously, like, your lecturers are there for a reason. Ask them what, you know, journey they took. Speak to your peers. You know, there's so many peers around you that will probably be, you know, have more information than you do. If you only listen to yourself, you can only, you know, supply yourself with the knowledge that you give yourself. Sorry for speaking riddles, but it's very true. You need to speak to people that are around you to educate yourself a little bit more. Because I know for sure, whilst I was at uni, I was around students that were getting jobs at IBM, or, you know, getting jobs at just various tech companies, and if I would have started to open up and have conversations with them, it would have given me more of a clear idea of what I wanted to do. The only time I ever thought about what I wanted to do was when I was considering to do a placement year. And by that time, it was too late.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely do believe that you should start early on. Like, you know, get past that whole freshness phase and, you know, you're here enjoying uni. You need to start realizing that if you're in second year or even before second year in your freshers year, you need to start building that picture of, okay, I'm doing this degree. This is where it's going to get me, but this is specifically what I want to do within that. Have a clear picture, because it's going to be so valuable to you after you graduate.
And I feel that for some people, they may just be doing the course because they feel like it's the next thing that they're meant to be doing. Is okay, just I'm meant to be going to university and studying this. And for me, it's like I feel like I was one of the lucky ones who didn't fall into that mindset of, okay, I don't know what I want to do. I've always known that I wanted to be I wanted to do something design related, and I didn't have that struggle of figuring out, okay, this is something I want to do in life. And I guess it's the tips that have helped me is you have to expose yourself to a wider range of activities, whether that's learning how to write, learning how to speak, learn how to do all these different skills that all these positions involve. Like, if you want to be a designer, then just try out design. If you want to be a videographer, then try creating a video. If you want to be a music artist, then try writing music. So you have to expose yourself to all these different things. And once you've tried out around a few of them, then you've got to ask yourself this question of what is it that you and what was it of them that you enjoyed the most? And then you take that further and see if you enjoy doing that as paid or if you enjoy doing that unpaid. There's a term that I always go by, is that if you can if you can think of something that you want to do for the rest of your life and you can do it for free, then that's where you should be putting your energy towards to doing as your actual career. So, and that isn't always as straightforward to make into a career and get actual income from it, but it's just an indication and direction of where you should be putting your energy towards to turn into a career, because you might be studying a degree right now that you're not really interested in, and yeah, it might get you a good job, but it's not going to bring you the passion you want. Was just having that mindset, that hindsight of understanding that, okay, let me try a few other things while I'm still at university. Because at university, you get 3 years of paid income to really go about exploring what it is that you really want to do. So if I was you guys, I would spend that time trying a host of different skills to see what really brings you the most happiness in your heart, or most passion in you. And then you refine that as you're going through your time at university to understand, okay, this is something I want to do once I finish my degree. And that might end up being what your degree is about. It might not end up being what your degree is about. But just trying out different things.
And another thing that I wanted to say, based on, you know, having an idea of what you want to do, is you're not glued to your degree.
No, you're not.
And what I mean by that is you have time to explore. And I think I'm just, you know, following up on some of the points that Fossa previously made. You need to be adventurous. And the reason why I recommend that is, even when you get into the working field, you're going to hit a point where you start feeling like, oh, I want to do more than this, or I actually love and enjoy this. And the quicker you can get to that point where you find out what you love, or you find out what you don't like, the better it is for you. Because when you're even applying for jobs, even when, you know, you're sending your CV out there, or you're putting your portfolio in front of, you know, clients, they can tell that you're passionate about it, because you're going to be writing differently about it, because you've spent that time really understanding who you are, what your skill set is, and, you know, what you can bring to the table for, you know, any new people that you meet, like clients or businesses that, you know, you work with, you know. So it's very essential, you know, and I definitely wish I knew how important it was to have, I guess, our understanding of the career I wanted to do, you know, post-graduation. I don't know if you're bored of us yet, but I've got some more for you. Another key thing that I wish I knew whilst I was at uni was, it's unordinary, but my weaknesses. The reason why I mentioned that is, the quicker you know what you're weak at, you're in an advantageous position.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say that is, you now know what you can work on. if you live your whole life and you don't know, you know, what you're weak at,
it's a bad thing.
You know, you're never going to be able to refine and improve. And I always hear, you know, I watch a lot of, you know, motivational speakers and people like Gary Vee and, you know, just various people that are successful. And they talk about focusing on your strengths. And I agree with that. But I also believe that it's very important to highlight what you're weak at so you can refine and fine tune, you know, them weak points. And
no, I was going to add that I feel like my story is a very perfect example of that. I remember I started off as just not even a proper designer, just someone who knew how to use Photoshop when I first went to university. And then I remember I'd be watching YouTube videos and see how somebody did videos. One thing that I wanted to learn how to do was typographic artwork. And I didn't know how to do that for a good year and a half when I was at university. And then I watched YouTube videos and I taught myself that. Then another thing I wanted to know was how do people do illustrations? Then I just taught myself that. Then another thing is how do I know how to do animation? And just sort of picking up on the skills that I knew that were my weaknesses, and I'm working on myself to make sure that I had acquired them and I'm comfortable in those areas so they're no more my weaknesses. So yeah, just highlighting them, and it builds up your arsenal, makes you a stronger asset to whoever it is that you're trying to be a prospect for. So yeah, just focus on what your weaknesses are. Not focus on what your strengths are, like always keep them strong, but just highlight your weaknesses and just make sure that you're aware of them, and that you're always working on just making sure that they're not at a place that they become a disadvantage to you.
Yeah, I think that's the key point that you were trying to make there, is just understanding what your weaknesses are. And understanding your weaknesses is also, it takes you on a journey of progression. As Foster just explained, you know, he had certain skills that he knew he wanted to improve. And what that did is the fact that he knew he lacked that information, he went out and you know, found that information and then applied that information. So now that makes him even more valuable, you know, looking to today. When he goes to clients, they now know that, you know, he's able to do typography, he's able to be an illustrator, you know, and he's got a vast range of skill sets that he can offer, which at one stage he would have considered them as weaknesses. So the key point I'm trying to get across to you guys today is, if you know you're not good at something, don't run away from it, embrace it. And embrace it to the point that, you know, you don't have to be the greatest at it, but you need to know that you need to be willing and accepting to improve on it. You know, because anything that we do in this world and in this life, we're going to have to grow and understand it better. You know, every professional was once an amateur. Every great was once an amateur. So you just need to understand that it's very essential to, you know, use your weaknesses and turn them into things that you're no longer weak at, and they're valuable assets that you can use, you know, pushing forward into your career path and, you know, after uni or whilst you're at uni.
And even to bring that into the conclusion of what we're talking about, the last thing that I thought I wish I knew was at when I was at university is people skills. Like, university is the best place to practice your people skills. And people skills are so important. When I mean important, like, they can either win you a client or lose you a client. And in the freelancing world, that's whether or not you're going to get paid to pay your bills or not, or basically not survive. And I remember there'd be times when I was working for Ogilvy and Mavar, I used to send emails in a very, not unprofessional, yeah, I would say very unprofessional manner that made it seem that I wasn't treating the person with respect. And if it wasn't for me being brought up that to my attention by my actual partners at the time, I wouldn't have known that. And that was something I didn't know at university, and it would have lost me a client, or lost us a client at the time. We were doing jobs for more than 20K, 10K a weekend. And if I would send the wrong type of email, it would have lost us those type of jobs. So people skills is so important, because it helps you understand how is it that you should deal with people in an informal way, or formal way, or on the internet, or in person. And if you don't know those things, then you can just put your business at risk. You can put your future money at risk.
For me, I definitely wish I knew how, you know, important people skills are. And I think that kind of infuses in the point that we made earlier on about wishing we knew, you know, how valuable networking is. Because networking and, you know, everything in this world is about people and how you manage people, how you understand how to navigate with people, build relationships with them, how you come across to people, the first impression that people get. You know, even if you have an idea and you want someone to execute it for you, or you build a relationship with a client and you want to, you know, jump on a new venture with them, the skills that you have and the way you treat these people are going to determine how successful that is. So you have to be really conscious of the people that you're around and the networks that you build with them, and just honing in on that skill set. Because I'll go back to the saying, your network is really your net worth, and how you deal with people really does determine, you know, the success that you can have.
A perfect example of that that we actually had quite recently, there was a client who found Tito through, we got posted on a Product Hunt, which is a very major platform for posting new startup products. And the client got in contact with us, and they weren't very happy with some of our procedures when it came to wanting to use our students. And then if this was a false or micro of the yesteryears that we didn't really understand to communicate with clients, we would have probably lost that client. But because we understood, okay, how is it that we address this client's needs and communicate with them in a way that so they understand our value and also understand the value that we can give to them, we ended up winning that client over, and then they paid and posted a project later, which then gave us money in the future, so that we saved ourselves from losing money because of our people skills and be able to communicate correctly and comfortably and in a friendly manner with somebody who was very apprehensive at the beginning and now became a long-term client.
Yeah, so I definitely wish I knew that people skills are highly valuable, because every connection that we build is just people. It's one person after another person, and the quality of the relationships you build with them, and the quality of the communication, and the quality of their, I guess, perception of who you are and the value that you offer can really determine whether, you know, how far you have success or you know, your progression. Ultimately, your people skills will determine your progression. So it's definitely something that, you know, you guys should be looking out for.
Okay. So thank you guys for listening. Hope you guys really enjoyed the topics that we covered. And as always, if you guys have any dying questions or things that you wish you knew, just send them in, and we'll be connecting with creatives in the industry to get you those answers.
One thing I want you guys to do, anyone that has listened to this, if any of the points really, you know, touch you to the core and you feel that you can relate to the points that we spoke about, tell us in the comment section. Let us know, you know, why you agree with the points that we made. If you disagree with anything, let us know also as well. Mm-hmm. We want this to be like an interactive podcast where we take in your feedback, because we wish we knew what you thought about some of the points that we've said today,
so that we can then go and find you answers, or even answer them ourselves. And you can actually do that using the podcast app Anchor. Just send your questions as a voice note, and we include them in our next podcast series, answering them directly. So yeah, any questions you guys have, any thoughts about what we've just spoke about in this podcast, send them through, and we'll discuss them in our next podcast.